Target Area. Written by Phantom Reviewer and read by Eos Rose. There was a rhythmic tapping on the wall when Merlin let himself into the flat. Roughly every 2 seconds, there was a soft wallop followed by noises that sounded like grunts. Arthur. Merlin rolled his eyes and pulled off his coat, hanging it up on the coat stand. Honey, I'm home, he snarked. There was no reply other than this annoyingly repetitive thumping. Rolling his eyes, Merlin followed the sound and saw Arthur, one hand above his head in traditional fencing stance and the other wrapped around his foil, standing and lunging at the wall. Merlin's smile froze on his face when he saw which hand was clasped to the grip. The hand that was wrapped in pale bandages. Arthur, stop it! He'd been told that he wouldn't fence for months, and that would be using his right hand, his undamaged hand, simply because that would limit the stability and mobility of his actions, and he would be at more risk. They had said that, outright, and he would not be allowed to fence using his left hand. Ever. For at least 9 months. It had been 3. Merlin stepped forward. Arthur, stop it. You're not allowed to fence. The doctors said... Merlin could hear the snarl in Arthur's voice when he replied, Shut up, Merlin. I don't care. Just leave me alone. Merlin coughed, opening his mouth, and looked at Arthur. I'm sorry? You know better than professional doctors? Arthur spat. Arthur, we're not at your ruddy club now. You can't spit in our home. Arthur wasn't wearing a helmet or any protective clothing at all. What do they know about fencing? I know that I'm fit to play. I need to train. Merlin rolled his eyes and stepped closer to Arthur angrily. You're hardly going to forget how to wield that bloody sword, are you? You've spent enough of your life doing it anyway. Just put it down. Merlin was so angry that he felt tears prickling at the corners of his eyes. Put that sword down now, Arthur. But Merlin was standing too closely to Arthur, and when Arthur wheeled around, arms still outstretched, there was a thwack as Arthur's foil collided with Merlin's face. Merlin flinched backwards from the pain of impact and threw his hands up to his face. The tears of anger that had been irritating his eyes fell as tears of pain. Neither man spoke to the other, and Merlin just stared at Arthur and his foil. He could feel the blood welling up where the foil had struck his face. From the tip of his ear, cutting a crisp straight line across his right cheek, the first touch of blood flitting along his cheekbone, and eventually ending at his mouth, both lips having been split by the impact of the sword. Merlin turned, hypocritically spitting blood out on the carpet before leaving without a word. Arthur stood frozen until the door slammed shut. He dropped his foil and brought his hands to his mouth. Shit. His speech was muffled through his fingers. Oh, God. It took him all of 3 minutes to throw on his jacket and grab Merlin's hideous misshapen rain mac. Because it was set to rain and Merlin had run out with only just a light jacket on, there was blood on the handle of the door. Arthur sighed and gritted his teeth. He raced down the steps. Those bloody lifts were still broken, and almost ran headlong into Pete, long-suffering postman, to the block. Your young man just ran this way, too. Is something wrong? Arthur staggered to a stop. Did he? What did he say? How did he look? Pete sighed and leaned against the nearest door, number 13. Well, now that you mention it, he didn't stop when I offered him your post. Here, Arthur took the outstretched bundle of bills and packages, and he had this odd mark down his face, like he'd been sliced. You wouldn't know anything about that, would you? Arthur's face fell, and Pete wisely kept quiet. Sorry. Pete's voice was light, and he nodded at him. Arthur almost flew down the stairs, hands full of pointless mail. In the day's final act of pathetic fallacy, as soon as Arthur had made it out of the Aelder block, the rain began to fall, hitting Arthur, and presumably Merlin, with great wet tears. Arthur made a grab for his phone before realizing that he didn't have enough hands with both the post and Merlin's Mac. In the end, he tucked Merlin's Mac under his chin, breathing deeply into the collar, before shoving the letters into his overly large pockets. There was a dull dialing tone before Lance's number started to ring. "Arthur, mate, what is it?" Arthur frowned. "Is Merlin with you?" Arthur could hear the spluttering noise from Lance's end of the phone. "No? Why would he be? Have you two had a fight?" Arthur snorted humorously. "You could say that." And Arthur explained what had happened. "Oh." There was a long pause between Arthur's finishing his story and Lance's final reaction. "I'll call you if I see him, and Gwen's coming over later, so I'll let you know if she knows anything." "Thanks, Lance." And Arthur hung up, feeling as if the weight of the world was pushing down on his shoulders and clinging to his injured hand. Merlin had been right, of course. And so Arthur set off into the rainy afternoon of Camelot. And Merlin wasn't anywhere. He wasn't at the quarters, even though Arthur knew that he spent time there when depressed. He wasn't at the coffee shop. Nor was he at Huneth's home, and Arthur had felt like shite when it came to explaining why he was looking for Merlin. Huneth. Thanks to some unknown and blessed motherly instinct, she'd bitten off his head and got angry at him for all of 20 minutes before gathering him up in her arms and hushed him as he cried. "You find my son, Arthur, and you apologize." Arthur felt worse than he had done before, but oddly trusted and humbled. Arthur was soaked to the skin by the time he'd arrived outside Will's student flat. He stood out there for roughly half an hour before turning back. Because Arthur knew what the look on Will's face would be when he told him what had happened. Will would never forgive him. He ended up outside Morgana's home. Knocking on the door, Arthur felt like a drowned puppy until Morgana opened the door and dragged him inside. What happened? And for the third time, Arthur repeated his story. Morgana slapped him when he was finished. "You idiot, Arthur. What were you thinking, practicing like that? Bad environment never draws swords when people are unmasked." Arthur felt about 7. That was the last time he'd ever accidentally hurt someone, and it had been Morgana. He hadn't done it again. Except to Merlin. He was dripping like a broken shower by the time Morgana had kicked him out of her house. "You have an apology to make, and Merlin's braver than you, so he'll forgive you, even if you don't forgive yourself. Now you get out." And so Arthur dripped his way up to their shared flat and dejectedly pushed open the front door. That should have been his first warning. Merlin was standing on the other side of the door, back to Arthur, looking decidedly dry. And then Merlin turned, angry red welt across his face, branding him. They stood facing each other. Merlin was holding Arthur's fallen foil, and after a few moments walked forward towards Arthur and reached down, dragging the fencing bag from its place by the door and putting the foil inside. "I'm sorry. I really am." Merlin straightened up, turning to face Arthur properly, that terrible gash almost shining in the light from overhead. Arthur reached out his hand, leaving it hovering millimeters above the wound on Merlin's face. He dropped his hand away. Merlin sighed and grabbed Arthur's fallen hand. I know. I know. Arthur frowned at their interlocked fingers and then at the mark on Merlin's face. I understand if you want to leave. It was Merlin's turn to frown. Why would I want to leave? Merlin squeezed Arthur's fingers and looked him straight in the face. Why should I leave? I love you. Arthur frowned and unlocked their fingers slowly. I was terrible to you. Merlin shrugged gently. Arthur guided his fingers up to the welt across Merlin's face and touched it lightly. But Merlin flinched, and Arthur dropped his hand as if he'd been burnt. He tried to push past Merlin, but Merlin, using a strength and speed that most didn't expect of him, raised both hands to the door, automatically locking it and enclosing Arthur in the prison of his arms. You're not going anywhere, Arthur. Look. And Arthur's voice broke. I'm sorry. I never intended to hit you. I'm so sorry. And I was just so angry that I couldn't fight and that I... Merlin placed one finger against Arthur's lips. Stop. And Arthur did so. Come with me. Merlin reached his hand down from Arthur's lips to his hand and dragged him bodily into the bathroom. Sitting him down on the edge of the bath, Merlin reached up and grabbed a tube of cream. There, salve, good for cuts and bruises. Try and rub that in gently. Arthur gulped and took the tube with shaking hands. He pulled Merlin into the fit between his legs, allowing his knees to settle at Merlin's hips. With his hands still shaking, Arthur opened the tube of salve and ever so gently touched Merlin's face. I'm sorry. Merlin grinned painfully. If you say that one more time, I'll hit you. Arthur smiled in return, although it didn't reach his eyes. I love you, Merlin. Merlin leaned down and rested his forehead against Arthur's, Arthur's fingers still tracing the mark up and down his cheek. I know, and I love you too, you oaf. They kissed slowly and chastely. Apology accepted. The end.